Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Right, here we go.
Kevin Keegan.
Naughty. Very naughty. Rock and roll and brew. They don't mean a thing when I compare them next to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Liverpool are in the final and Norwich face Watford tonight. It's Friday, 21st of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vinusha Hantaraja.
It's a fabulous Friday, everybody, on the Football Ramble. How you doing, boysies?
Good, thank you, mate.
Hang on. I thought you were going
to... Go on, you go.
I was just going to take the piss out of Marcus, so I can wait, probably.
No, go on.
No, I wasn't actually. I was going to say that was one of the most action-packed, energetic intros ever, which I personally really enjoy. Mm. But may I recommend to people listening to this whose English is their second language,
yes,
there is a feature on most podcast players to slow it down anyway.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to do that, that's on you.
Mm. I just, look, a big, bold, energetic, enthusiastic intro is a great tribute to the great man, Meatloaf.
It is. Absolutely.
I think we can all agree.
When was the last time you heard from him? Not you know, personally.
Yeah, I was going to say never.
Correspondence, yeah. I thought he was already dead.
That's disrespectful.
It's not disrespectful. Mm.
To a great recording artist.
Well, look,
a fine actor.
Yeah, very good actor, you have to say.
So in tribute, is this going to be an extra long? Because weren't his songs all really long?
They were, actually. It's a really good point.
Yes.
We'll do a two-hour ramble.
They're all really long, yeah.
Unfortunately, though, he has been actually overshadowed today because this is the Phil Neville birthday special.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Oh, my God. What do you think he's doing?
Happy birthday, Phil.
Happy birthday to me. is he on the beach right now?
I don't know what he. I don't want to think about what he's doing.
Do
Do you think, because I thought maybe we'd do, because you didn't tell me about the Meatloaf had died, but you did tell me it's Fizz's birthday on the WhatsApp group this morning.
Yeah.
And I suggested maybe that I sing him Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Into the camera.
Yeah, but
that's
maybe.
A special patron. That's patron special.
But if he was singing Happy Birthday to someone, but if he was stuck in the cake.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't be able to hear him, would you?
I'm imagining Phil Neville like the scene in Under Siege where the woman comes out the cake, but it's yeah. Phil.
Ah, yes.
And there was also news this week, wasn't there? Uh-huh. I don't think it was covered on yesterday's show or earlier this week. There was news that someone had to wrestle a wrangler snake from the Inter Miami training ground.
Yep.
And that's on Phil's watch.
Mm, yeah.
So, is that the sign of a coming plague that that Phil Neville's responsible for?
And Meatloaf is dead now.
Yeah. I just heard snake Phil Neville and I thought, has he been down by the beach again?
Second time he's mentioned the beach.
Yeah. I've got to get it in there.
Why isn't... I mean, I think we can say this on the man's birthday. And don't worry, listeners, we will come to Arsenal Neil. We'll talk to in a minute. It's not as important as this.
Semi-final.
What? Why isn't Phil, who played for Everton, and it's his bastard birthday today, not being linked with the Everton job?
Well, we'll get to Everton in the second half. And I was going to link him to Everton.
I haven't read it. Yeah. Okay, great.
But you're right, though. You are right. Why is he not? Well, we'll answer that in the second half, everybody. Mm. Something to look forward to. But until then, we've got to get this old chutney out of the way. Arsenal 0, Liverpool 2. Great win for Liverpool, Vish, you have to say. They were up for the cup, and they have been accused not being up for the cup before, haven't they?
Yeah, but I thought it was quite thoroughly underwhelming and capped an end to what was a thoroughly underwhelming Carabao semi-final stage.
Don't be jealous, bruv.
I'm not jealous. I didn't want it anyway.
Yeah.
But it's... Yeah, I mean, they did... Yeah, they won it, didn't they? I thought Arsenal were pretty bad. It felt like having, you know, 0-0 down to 10 men, it felt like, right, this is you're trying to, like, go at them at home now. And it didn't really seem to transpire beyond, like, the opening exchanges. And I feel like at any moment Liverpool could have, like, you know, I suppose, you know, Jota gets that second quite near the end, but at any moment they could have wrapped the game up.
Yeah, the tale of the two semis was the better teams won.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. It's Liverpool's first Wembley final for 6 years, and we stress Wembley final. Clearly Klopp has prioritised league and European competition to you know, incredible success. But does that record sort of surprise you a little bit, Luke?
On one level, I suppose it does, because you think of Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp as a story of huge success, and that'll be mostly because he delivered them a league title, which was the biggest, you know, biggest narrative in
it was
English
such a
football.
Monkey on their back.
It was, and it was a big deal, and obviously they won the Champions League as well, and that is a trophy that also cast a really big shadow. Trophy wise, you know, they haven't won a huge amount under Klopp, but maybe that's not the point. And I think, given the landscape that they're operating in, with, you know, teams like Man City and to an extent Chelsea as well around and about, it's no mean feat. I do think that absolutely they haven't prioritised the cup competitions. You can see, I mean, there's loads of evidence for that. You don't even need to take our word for that. But you know, it's a big moment for them to get to a Wembley final, and the League Cup is perhaps a little bit more interesting for a club like Liverpool than maybe not more interesting, but as interesting, because you've got a really, really passionate fan base at Liverpool. And for example, in the League Cup final, you get a load more fans than you'd say do in the FA Cup final. And it's a trophy they've not won for ages and all the rest of it. And Man City have completely dominated it, as we know. I just feel that the story of the game last night is just, and I'm sorry if it's boring to say, I mean, I could do some more Meatloaf chat instead if you want, they were like a bat. No. Is that Liverpool just a far better team than Arsenal? And exactly, Arsenal have had their problems. I know there was a lot of controversy around them postponing that game against Spurs. There were reasons for that, and whether the reasons are legitimate or not, I mean, is, you know,
which we talked about now.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And a lot of the Arsenal players didn't have a chance to train properly, blah, blah, blah. Same old problems at dog Arsenal about discipline as well. Liverpool just a better team.
Yeah.
And they proved themselves to be a better team, and they deserve to be in the final. I think it's not really any more detailed than that. Arsenal were okay in the first 10 or 15 minutes. Mm. If Lacazette scores that goal, which I think was a great save by Gallagher actually in the replay.
Yeah.
If Arsenal score that goal, perhaps it's a different game. But I suspect it probably even wouldn't have been, because Liverpool got loads more gears to go through.
Yeah, totally, yeah. And a good game, the young lad having goal for Liverpool as well, which shows you actually, sometimes when we think of strength and depth, you obviously think of Manchester City, because it is strength and depth in a way that possibly we've never seen in the Premier League before. Whereas Liverpool, obviously they're missing two very key players in Mane and Salah, and Naby Keita is not there as well. Sometimes we forget about him, don't we, Fish? But when they've got good young players coming through as well, and sometimes we don't sort of focus too much on them. But when Diego Jota's in that kind of form and Trent Alexander-Arnold's in that kind of form as well, there's little you can do.
Yeah, and there's quite an interesting point to make about Kelleher in terms of, you don't necessarily think of goalkeepers when you talk about depth. I suppose Zach Steffen is a, you know, he's probably the only one in the league that I can think of. Maybe like Romero when he was at Manchester United in terms of second touring goalkeeper who's pushing the first one. But the fact that he was able to replace Alisson in that way, I know that obviously there's things with his feet that he can't do to mitigate for Alisson's loss, but yeah, the saves were exceptional. And you know, you mentioned Jota and Alexander-Arnold there. When you bring young players into a team, you do need those senior players to step up a little bit more to make it more comfortable for those younger players. And even someone like Curtis Jones, who, I feel like you'd say he's an established first-team squad player, as it were.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, someone who's in that situation and feels incredibly comfortable. Jota, for me, I just...
By the way, you refer to Trent as a senior player, which I understand, 23 years old.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But, you know, in terms
miles on the clock, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, of course.
The thing about Jota that really impresses me is... He feels so, you know, there are things about Salah you could pinpoint as his strength, similar to Mane, similar to Firmino. Mm-hmm. With Jota, it feels like a bit of everything.
Yeah.
It's a bit 8 out of 10 and everything, which is perfect, isn't it?
No, because that's 10 out of 10 is perfect.
Yeah, well, okay, well, yeah, that's a good point, yeah. Yeah. So he
he's
could
doing
be...
doing Lequipe ratings.
What I'm saying, he could be better, and I feel like he's holding back.
Yeah. Room to improve, yeah. But Jota, though, when he went into that Liverpool side signing, of course, it wasn't that long ago when he signed. Big ask, Luke, to go in. Such a formidable and established front three.
And break it up as well.
And absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's a really shrewd move by Liverpool in terms of bringing him in, because when you get that kind of little cabal of that front three that always seem to play and always seem to be the go-to forward players, you know, just because of human beings being involved and there's a lot of variables, you get an injury or a player doesn't want to sign a new contract. Mm. I mean, there's a Salah contract situation going on at the moment. As we know, a player drops off in form for whatever reason, which you could argue has happened with Firmino. You always need to get someone in there to mix it up. It's a really good idea to do that. And actually, you know, thinking about Arsenal back in the day, I can remember Arsenal players who weren't that great because of just not being pushed. There wasn't more than one player of that quality in that position. And so it kind of didn't really get up to the level of intensity it needed to. I mean, he's a great player.
Second goal, come on.
Second goal's amazing.
Because you think Ramsdale's going to... Is he going to get that? He just nips in. But it's a beautiful take on the chest to
it's a great,
to
it's a great it ding, away. Little dinky as
it's
well.
Beautiful. And from the purist point of view, from the purist inside me, of which, you know, is like 95%.
Mm. What's the other 5%? Meatloaf. As in like actual physical meatloaf.
Totally, yeah. Well, we've just come over the Christmas period, but no.
We've just done what the Christmas period?
Are you thinking about physio again?
Well, no. As it obviously, you, as a neutral, you want the game to be as interesting as possible. But the purist in you thinks, I want that goal to stand because of the pass.
Yeah,
of
course.
But
you also need to. I think we also need to applaud Klopp for the way he managed the game.
Yeah.
Matip isn't having a great game or whatever, or maybe has a niggle or something. He brings on Konate to replace him. He brought Henderson off where he started to look a bit tired and was getting a little bit under pressure because Martinelli was coming into the game and playing well. Uh-huh. And Milner comes in there and does a decent job. And so, like, the game management was good as well. Speaking of the first goal, Ramsdale sees it really late, of course, and it doesn't look great for him. That's a kind of goal that I think looks terrible for the goalkeeper, but probably isn't, in reality, that bad. Mm. But what I find with Ramsdale sometimes, and it's the same thing you can level at Pickford, actually, is that they're obviously being coached to start moves and to play a big role in how the team's set up to go forward. And I think that sometimes a lot of these new keepers find it hard to find that balance. The amount of times you see Ramsdale screaming at the ball boy, give me the ball, we want to get going here, And you wonder whether he can actually settle after that. And finding that balance is really difficult. And I think Alisson and Ederson are two great examples of how you can find that balance really well. They're calm characters, but they're also proactive players as well.
So what do you mean by that in terms of what do you think he would need to... I suppose, how would he improve it? Simply by maturing?
I'm not saying it's the reason they consider that first goal.
No, of course, yeah. But
I'm saying that if you are being given a brief where you are proactively launching attacks for teams as a goalkeeper, where you're playing such a big role with your feet or with your distribution, that then what you've got to be able to do is know almost instinctively when to be involved and when not to be involved.
Yeah.
And to me, I just think when I think of Ramsdale last night, and when I think of Pickford, perhaps not so, it's difficult to say because Everton have been so shit recently, but you think of them being a bit busy, a bit active, when they don't need, in areas where they don't need to be active. And I think
Right.
Do you know
right.
what, Vish? It's almost a bit like being a top flight, a top level cricketer, right? You need to know what balls to dispatch and what balls not. Yeah. And they've got to do a bit of that.
You can't swing at every ball.
But do not give Jordan Pickford a bat.
No.
Well, actually, if he
yeah, yeah, don't give a bat on the football pitch.
Yeah, or a bat out of hell. Changing tacks quite drastically. Alan Smith, an Arsenal legend. I think a legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Scored that winning goal in the Cupman's Cup final.
That's a legendary era of Arsenal, isn't it?
I think part of it. He was, of course, on commentary. There was a bizarre picture of him. He was sat on four plastic chairs that were stacked up.
Yeah, I saw that.
In the commentary. Give a club legend at the Emirates a better chair, surely.
I think there's a lot of under-the-surface eccentricity about footballers of that generation who are now broadcasters.
No, but do you not think he's thinking...
You think he requested... I thought he just did it because, you know, when you stack chairs on top of each other, you're a bit high, but also you're slanted a bit further forward.
Could possibly.
So you can have that little lovely little leaning... but kind of resting back.
It looked mad.
Yeah, but I don't think... I think he's done that out of...
He wouldn't have ordered it, though, would he?
No, he wouldn't have ordered it. I think he's done that out of necessity, and I think that the Emirates should...
Well, I think he should have a better facility.
That's what I'm saying.
If someone was licking his ear and he asked him to lick his ear, that would be weird. I don't think it's particularly weird sitting on four chairs.
No.
Maybe that happened as well. We just don't know.
Yeah. We do not know.
Let's assume it did.
Indeed. What about old Thomas Partey, flown back from the AFCON yesterday?
Cheers for your help, Thomas.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for coming.
Well, that's what Teta said. Thomas tried to help, but we ended up with 10 men.
It's like having a house party, saying you need someone to be a bouncer, and then the bouncer starting endless fights.
It's so fucking stupid as well. Given that Xhaka is already suspended for what happened in the previous leg, why would he... Even just getting off a plane, knowing that he got off the plane a few hours before, why would you risk him in case? You don't know. And then the idea that he goes on and gets sent off, so now they're both suspended for the next couple of games. Luke's analogy there, but it's also knowing that the bouncer is going to start fights and giving him the job anyway.
Anyway, yeah. Arteta was so deadpan about it.
Yeah, he was. Well, what can he do? Good news, though, for Arsenal is that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has revealed that he's completely healthy and is now returned to the UK.
Good. Well, that's obviously good news.
Yeah, absolutely
good news. And I was also really interested in, speaking of, the Arsenal's... midfield crisis.
They could put a load of chairs in there, couldn't they?
They could. Or, and don't make a decision yet, think about it, they could also use Jack Wilshere, who's being very cryptic on Instagram.
He has, yeah. He's posted a picture of himself training with two egg timers.
Why two egg timers?
Yeah, just in case one fails.
They always have a backup.
You've got to turn them over at the same time, though.
Always have a backup.
No, that's true.
Is it an egg timer like that, or is an egg timer which is like an egg that you turn it around and it goes...
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen the photo.
Yeah, and it's a bit early for Easter as well.
It is.
Yeah, but not early for eggs, is it?
No.
But good morning food.
The reason I find it interesting is because Jack Wilshere is one of the most boring human beings on the planet. And him doing the cryptic thing on Instagram is interesting.
Yeah, well, maybe he's heard your cry for him to be a bit more interesting.
He's trying to turn into a bit of a media personality, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very strange. It's a bit Kardashian way of getting a new club.
But he never raises his voice above, like, normal level.
Should go and play for Inter Miami.
Him and why
Fizzer.
Not?
You never know here what
little birthday
saying.
Treat. He'd get him in a cake and get him to jump out of it for Fizzer for his birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday, Fizzer.
Yeah.
he'd have to play on the wing, couldn't he? So he could get the instructions because he won't hear him if he's in the centre midfield.
Very true. Yeah. Arsenal are playing Burnley though this weekend. Apparently, Burnley are going to play a football match, which is quite exciting. Sean Dyche has insisted this week that he is not angry with Chris Wood for leaving. He admitted that Burnley will have to try to find different ways to win though, because Jay Rodriguez is currently their only fit striker.
Yeah.
When Sean Dyche says, "I'm not angry with Chris Wood," I immediately think you're protesting too much.
I haven't even asked you about it yet.
Yeah. Right, I just want to say,
not angry with Chris Wood. Yeah. I think, as I said earlier this week, I predict some kind of really difficult admin issue when Burnley are inevitably relegated, and it's at least partly because they've got to play all these games at once.
Yeah.
Well, I think you mentioned in the same piece earlier this week about how they're a team who tend to build momentum into the second half of the season. And that plays out. If you look at 2019-20 when they finished 10th, so they won 8 out of their last 16, but importantly, they only lost twice. I think similar last season, they won 5 out of the last 9.
Yeah, right.
And now they've got, because of those 5 games to rearrange, the fact that they've got a dreadful squad for that kind of cluster. And also, like, in the same way that we can't assume that Spurs are going to use their game in hand to secure their top four place, there's no way we can assume that Burnley, who are currently bottom, are going to use those games in hand wisely.
Expect some draws from
Burnley.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think he'll be out for the draw, you know, very much play for that, which is no bad tactic if you're going away to
they've got ground to make up. They've got to win a few of those.
But I think they will grind out a few draws, get a few points on the board and then start to build, because it's probably three from four that are going to go down. And tonight's game, which we're going to talk about in the second half, is crucial with regards to all of that. But gentlemen, might we depart from domestic football and go to international stuff, because the African Cup of Nations is heating up. The holders Algeria were knocked out last night, which, I mean, they've disappointed, haven't they, in this tournament? I mean, I know Ivory Coast were very good last night, but 3-1, I mean, Riyad Mahrez, he missed his penalty as well. It's been a pretty disastrous tournament for them.
Yeah, very strange. I was incredibly impressed by the Ivory Coast, especially with, you know, Kessié and Sangare, who... both of them seem to be quite high up on the link to other clubs.
What's Frank Kessié's reward for that? Yeah. A link with Spurs.
But the Algeria thing has been incredibly funny. I thought about, you know, with seeing Partey yesterday briefly, the like Mahrez, when he missed that penalty, an incredible penalty miss, the way the ball bounced so far the other way off the post. But I was like, obviously going to return to Manchester City sooner rather than later. And they need him, obviously, because he's been struggling. But yeah, they were one of those teams that you always feel have got the right balance of like solidity and that flair that you need in tournament football. But yeah, like really, really disappointing.
I mean, what, they got 1 point from the group, and they go into the game having a huge unbeaten streak.
They were in
unbelievable form. But then you do find that happening with international tournaments a fair amount. It's not that long ago, really. I mean, it probably is now because I'm old, but... France in 2002, for example.
Well, I know what you're going to say. Yeah,
in the group stage.
Well, you can. Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams. I think Brazil in, would it be 06, aren't they the only holder of the World Cup not to go out in the first round or something
right,
like
okay.
that?
Right. Okay.
You think Germany and Russia, Italy in 2010.
Yeah.
Spain in 2014. It's an odd phenomenon in this century.
Yeah, when these institutions build up, the fall is so dramatic.
The players just like, I've done this now.
Yeah.
I'd rather go home and celebrate the win from 4 years ago.
I watched the Sierra Leone Equatorial Guinea game, which is a really great watch. Missed penalty. Stephen Colker popping up.
Yeah, and
which is so funny.
It's lovely, isn't it? Sierra Leone, if they'd have scored that penalty, I think they'd have snuck through. So it was a big penalty miss because they'd have finished with 3 points and they could have been one of the last. I think Comoros, what, they were 3 points or something.
Would snuck through as the last best third place team.
Was between the two of them. Comoros would now play the host Cameroon.
Great start. It's a really great story.
It is a great story. And the Gambia as well, upset Tunisia, stoppage time winner. Great story about them. Don't spend all your time focusing on Comoros. Spend a lot of it on Comoros, but do remember the Gambia as well, playing in their first Africa Cup of Nations. Finished runners-up in the group with 7 points, which is astonishing, really. So, we look forward to them.
Do you feel like
them in the next round?
I feel like the knockout stages are going to be wild, not least because, you know, at the start, we were having basically binary scores.
Yeah.
And it felt like, maybe in the way that all tournaments are, actually, that because of the short time they had together, it feels like teams are working themselves out. Mm. So it could be wild because we see at the back end of this group stage where people are starting to score more goals. It feels like everyone's a bit more interested in what they do.
This happens in a lot of, you know, in the World Cups especially, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's some really, really nice standout fixtures in that second round because you've got Ivory Coast against Egypt.
Yeah.
And don't Nigeria play Tunisia as well, which is quite interesting. Right, so it'd be good.
Yeah. Ivory Coast versus Egypt is the one that probably catches the eye. And I think with Ivory Coast, maybe we've forgot a little bit about them because they've got some players in there. But you're kind of focusing on Algeria. Obviously, Egypt with Salah.
And the host as well.
But yeah, I think maybe one or two people have forgotten about the coast.
Maybe they had.
Yeah, Côte d'Ivoire.
Never forget about the coast.
No, absolutely.
Apart from the guy who used to present it, who's now gone mad.
What?
Neil, what's his name? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. Scottish guy.
Looks like Horncastle.
Buchanan.
A little bit.
No, the guy looks like Neil James
Horncastle.
No, he's Horncastle.
A scouser you're talking about.
Neil Buchanan's a scouser?
Yeah. Heart attack.
Neil Buchanan's not important. Not important.
Well, he is, but not in this chat.
I can't remember if he's called Neil someone and he looks like James Horncastle.
Ferguson.
And he,
Lawrence.
No.
Oh.
Move on.
Right, there we are.
I'll work it out in a break.
Excellent, there we are. All right, let's have a quick break.
Neil Buchanan's still alive.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online.
Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week, Clive Anderson is joined by comedian Stephen K. Amos on My Seven Wonders, the show where guests select their personal seven wonders of the world. Stephen discusses his fame down under, who inspires his comedy, and how he got on during lockdown.
My dad, early 80s, came to stay with me for 2 weeks of the lockdown. I had no idea, after all these years, that he is a twat. I had no idea, Clive, that the heating in my house could be set to lava. And I said to him, why is the heating on so high? And without skipping a beat, he just said, I don't pay the bill here. Now, this is the kind of thing I had to deal with.
Listen to My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You better get your finger out all right and make sure that you get their fucking results.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Neil Oliver.
Neil Oliver, there we go. That's him. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And nice little portent of what Everton players have got to look forward to this weekend. I mean, it really is. And do you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, sometimes I might say, do you know what? From Big Duncan, that's a little bit reductive. And when I hear that there, and the current situation Everton are in, I go, no, that's exactly what they fucking need.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Do you remember when he did that message for the fan?
Oh, yeah.
Really lovely.
Yeah.
But just everything he does comes across as quite aggressive.
Partly because he was standing in what looked like a true crime, like, Scandi noir setting of this,
yeah,
like,
in the middle of the wood,
brown leaf lined driveway with no one around,
yeah,
screaming into the camera.
This is my house, eh? What do you think of that, eh? Yeah. You're going to come and fucking bug on me? Yeah. I'll be ready for you.
Yeah.
He's just a well-wisher. Just a little well-wish. That's
so,
what we need.
But I think that people who listen to this show and know you well, Marcus, love that you can go all the way from the soft brogue of Craig Brown all the way through
the
full gamut to Duncan.
You have range.
I've got incredible range.
Yeah.
But so is Pete Donaldson, because it's time for emails.
If you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
Yes, but Pete won't be reading this email, I'm afraid. I will be. Pete is elsewhere. This is from Keith. Hello to you, Keith, our friend Keith. Just like saying the name Keith.
Keithy baby.
As a quality football content show full of wonderful in-depth analysis, sarcasm, I feel you guys have been missing the real story for a weekend preview for some weeks now.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is this sent to somebody else's inbox?
Yeah. Surely the big... He says, sent this into Max at Football Weekly, but I got a bounce back. Surely the big question every Friday is, what song is Michael Owen going to sing while dressed as a hideous stack of donuts on The Masked Singer?
Ooh.
While the first half of Owen's football career was particularly spectacular, his achievements on this show have been mesmerising. The Donut Monster has outlasted genuine singing talent such as Heather Small, Will Young and Gloria Hunniford. Mm. Owen remains in contention for this season's title alongside Keane's frontman Tom Chaplin dressed as a poodle and possibly Marcus Fearley from Westlife dressed as a robo bunny. I mean, I don't know what TV's become, but I don't watch this, and reading this is like a mad fever dream.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah. If indeed Donuts is Michael Owen, because I guess it's Musk, who haven't been revealed yet, he also has to overcome a great hurdle in performing a song for Movies Week this week. Some feat for a man who famously doesn't like films.
Yeah.
This might be some hideous fever dream, as I said. I've just woken from, but I'm strangely enjoying it no end. Roll on Saturday at 7 p.m. I didn't want to do an advert for Masked Singer, but it looks like I've been duped into doing one.
Why does he think it's Michael Owen, though?
I think
people speculate, don't know.
Well, because they give clues.
Yeah.
So what would be the clues for Michael Owen?
Once scored a hat trick against Germany in 2001. I don't know.
He's a really boring bastard. Yeah.
Yeah, so they would
get... Bullied a 13-year-old.
Maybe. Show at footballramble.com.
I'd like to think that the 13-year-old that he bullied in that video is now a prominent TV director and has got him to dress as a donut monster on telly as revenge.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Why is Owen doing it?
We don't know.
He's made his dough.
Well, and he's making more by the looks of it.
And he's wearing it, yeah. There we go.
There we are. As I say, show at footballramble.com or at footballramble for that kind of crap. Right, tonight it's a big one, boys. It's a huge one. Massive match. Watford versus Norwich. Friday night. I mean, it's this big. When asked how big the match was for tonight, Claudio Ranieri replied, "It is very big."
Yeah.
Well,
what more can you say?
From the horse's mouth.
What way to celebrate a Friday night by watching two teams who literally can't play football to save their lives?
Yeah, but it'll be hectic.
It'll be mad.
Norwich have found their feet of late, though. A couple of wins recently.
I mean, there's finding your feet and there's basically waking up from a coma, isn't there? I think if they win this game, it'll be the first time they've won back-to-back Premier League games since 2016.
Yeah.
Right. Alex Neil did that.
Oh, I remember
that's
Alex.
How long
he
ago.
Was flavour of the month for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's Scottish as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to do a bit of Alex Neil?
Another one. Not now.
He's a Scottish egg as well.
He is, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we egg?
One of the most baffling... I don't mean to bag on Norwich unnecessarily, but they have been awful.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of a little bit bitter about when their fans insisted they were really good when they got relegated.
We didn't say all this, though. Remember that time when we were promoting the Ramble live show in Norwich and we were on like local radio in Norwich doing an interview and we were like, oh, yeah, no, they're a staple of the Premier League. It's always good to have
it always comes back to bite me because I'm the one with the opinions that I can't back up.
I just sit there and go, yeah.
Yeah.
Come and have a good time.
Loves Marcus because he's nice.
Hey, come and have a good time.
But the most baffling statistic of the Premier League so far this season is so surprising is that if Norwich win this game tonight, they climb out of the relegation.
That's mental.
Yeah,
I cannot tell you how bad I think Norwich are, but that fact remains. So what do I know?
What do you know? I look at that table and I'm sorry. I know we're not talking about Newcastle. We're not talking about Kieran Trippier, but I just keep thinking, what have you done? You could still be playing for Atletico Madrid. Anyway, I've made this point time and time again. I'm sorry.
But you can't get past it.
I really can't.
Yeah.
Anyway, Watford versus Norwich,
You know, without being too much of a dickhead about it, to be semi-serious for now. This is the kind of game that as if you're a fan of Watford or a fan of Norwich, this is huge. As we record this right now, people will be waking up as fans of one of these two clubs nervous.
Yeah.
Because they know in their bones how big it is.
Yeah.
Not just for the 3 points, but of course the old cliche, you're stopping another team getting 3 points.
Yep.
You can build some momentum.
Yeah.
As you've already said, Vish, I mean if Norwich can win back to back games for the first time in 5 or 6 years, at a really key point in the season, it also puts further pressure on teams like Burnley, right? Because Burnley have got a tough game this weekend and loads of stuff to catch up on. So they could put 5 points between themselves and Burnley. I mean, I know it's games in hand, but if you ask any manager, they want points on the board.
But Watford got two games in hand on Norwich and they're a point above. Watford win that game. They can see how important.
Tough.
And this is a game that no team wants to draw, which is why I think it's an interesting one. Because they've got to go for it, the old cliche. But, you know, Norwich, they cannot lose this game. I mean, people are saying, you know, their season hinges on it. That's a bit much. We've seen great escapes before. I mean, this would be one hell of an escape for any of those teams, of course. And we say it's, you know, 3 from 4. I mean, that's assuming Everton aren't dragged into it, and we'll talk about them in just a sec. But you would expect that Everton would get out of it. But Watford, Norwich, Newcastle and Burnley, I mean, it's looking very bleak for all those sides. But Norwich there has been a little flicker of hope since Dean Smith has come. I know they've lost a few games under his tenure, but again, that win against Everton, obviously Everton are poor, we said that, but it was a little bit better, Vish.
Yeah.
It looked a little bit more cohesive.
It did, yeah. It seemed to them, for the first time in a while, it looked like they looked at another team and thought, they might be as shit as us.
Yes.
We can go at them.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what they've got to do tonight. Mm. Obviously, it's not a free hit for the reasons you outlined, but it feels like if you're playing away from home against a team who probably in parts have looked like they're too good for the situation they're in, Watford, they just have to go at them, almost like risk the loss. I know that's easier said than done in this chair, but it feels like they're in a... Especially, actually, when you look at the run of games they've got after that, I think they've got Palace, Wolves, Liverpool and Man City.
Yeah.
So this feels like the... You know, they're going to get that second win in a row. They're probably not going to get a third.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it feels like they really need to go at it and show a bit of ambition. I think the one thing that's helped Dean Smith, and it hasn't been particularly nice, certainly from the way that fans have reacted to certain players, particularly Billy Gilmore, but it feels like he has a better grasp of the players he thinks can get him out of this. Mm-hmm. Adam Eder was a good example of one who has shown energy, not necessarily shown quality, but has come to the fore in the last couple of weeks. And I think the more of those players that stand up and show themselves to be worthy is going to be helpful to them. And this is another opportunity tonight.
Yeah. I just think that Billy Gilmore in at Norwich is great for Billy Gilmore, but it's not great for Norwich. I mean, it's an amazing experience for Gilmore at 20. You go into there, like a really difficult atmosphere, a lot of adversity to deal with. He's going up against, in tough situations, going against big teams, playing games where he's going to be relied upon. It's great. It's great.
He hasn't played as much.
Well, no,
he's played a fair amount.
This is the thing. He didn't play
at the start.
He didn't play at the start in Farker, and then he played, basically started every game-ish to a point, first few games under Smith, and then... The fans turned on him massively. He was singing, fuck off, back to Chelsea. Now he is back at Chelsea because he's got a knee injury, which they're assessing. But I mean it from that point of view, that they massively, the fans turned against him.
Mm. I mean, it doesn't sound amazing for Gilmore. I mean, that's the thing that could destroy
his
confidence.
It's a great experience for him. He's if he wants to have a top-level career over the next 10, 12 years, he's going to have to come through difficulty.
Yeah.
He's going to have to come... It may not necessarily take the exact form of your own fans... screaming at you, but ultimately, whether we like it or not, these players at the top level have to deal with all sorts of stuff, and then he's not going to experience that playing either academy level or under 23s level at Chelsea.
Well, okay,
and occasionally popping on for the last 10 minutes in the game at Chelsea, are already winning, is what I'm saying.
Okay, Tim Krul is facing a lengthy timeout after picking up a shoulder injury against Everton. He'll be a big miss. I would imagine it'd be Angus Gunn who goes in there, but I mean, conceded 8 in 2 games.
He's had a difficult time.
He has a difficult time. Would you be worried, Luke? That Angus...
Yeah, well, I rate Tim Krul very highly. Yeah. I think he's a good goalkeeper. I don't watch him as closely as all the Norwich fans listening do, but I think he's great. I mean, he's got such experience. I see him as a really solid, safe pair of hands. So it's obviously a big loss. Yeah.
And if he doesn't perform, do you think Angus Gunn could get fired?
Christ!
Just don't say anything.
Look, he's a Premier League footballer, so. Earns a few quid, he's probably loaded. Everton versus Villa. 2 for the price of 1 there. Everton versus
Here's
Villa.
Here's open markers, get silent.
Joining in.
Weirdly, that's annoying because that's acknowledged you there. That's acknowledged your nonsense. I couldn't resist it.
There we are. 1-0 to me. Duncan Ferguson's first game in charge and his second stint as caretaker manager. They're beginning better get their fucking results, mate. He said yesterday that he has already dished out a few home truths to the Everton players.
Is he called every player a wee dirty already?
I hope so. Yeah. They should give everything. They should run themselves into the ground. Imagine if you asked a fan to put a shirt on and get on the pitch. What would they do? Well, they would need to do
that. They'd be rubbish.
Yeah, it would be dreadful.
Yeah, I know.
I without kind of wanting to annoy legendarily testy fans of Everton, who do seem to get really pissed off all the time. Everton's running is horrific.
Yeah.
It is horrific. And I don't think enough has been made of the kind of games they've lost and who they've been to. I think they've lost to every promoted side.
They just lost to Norwich, for crying out.
Yeah, well, exactly. Their last 8 games, it's like West Ham away, Man United at home, Palace, Liverpool, Chelsea, Leicester, Brentford, and Arsenal.
Yeah.
That is a tough old run, and they need to put a gap between themselves and that relegation zone as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing, you can think of Duncan Ferguson as being tough as he is and been around the club for a long time and a legend and clearly a no-nonsense type of character. But he's not got really any credible managerial experience to speak of.
No.
So it shouldn't be seen as automatically, it will be fine because Duncan will sort it out.
He does know the club, though.
I wouldn't say that if he was here.
No.
but there are good teams who've gone down the past, as we well know.
Yeah, I mean, look, if the thing is with someone like Ferguson, because he's so passionate with Everton, and he does know the place inside out, which means that actually that kind of passion, that kind of, I don't know, G-up perhaps, we'll see if it works, that the players maybe, that can work for a very, very, very short period of time. And obviously they're going to be looking for someone permanent to come in. Mm. But you never know what that effect could have. I mean, they've got Villa, then they've got an FA Cup match against Brentford, but then in the league, back in the league, they've got Newcastle, Leeds, Southampton next. They've got a chance there.
Yeah, and if you look at a couple of the games that they were postponed, I think it was Burnley and Newcastle, wasn't it?
Mm.
And so, obviously, they haven't been particularly good, so you can't necessarily say that they would have done particularly well. But given the state that those two teams were in when those matches should have been or could have been played, suddenly has a completely different complexion now.
I'm not saying they get relegated, but what I am saying is if you had to develop this kind of scenario in a lab where a team the size of Everton would get relegated, a lot of the ingredients are there.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, but... have you seen the four teams below him?
Well, exactly. That's the saving grace. Basically.
It is the saving grace. Sadly.
Everton have lost to every single one of them, probably.
Well, give them a chance, and perhaps they will in the coming weeks. But Everton, they're hosting Aston Villa, and one huge motivational feature, if you like, for Everton will be that Steven Gerrard is the Aston Villa manager, and that won't be lost on Big Dunk.
No, it won't be. But
well, you're making it sound like he's going to do something.
Yeah.
No, but that's. I think that's what I mean with
the
Ferguson.
Man is a professional.
No, but that's...
do you think when they shake hands before the game,
he's got a very
nutting?
He's got a very certain set of skills.
Yeah, he does. No, what I mean by that is that sometimes, you know, I think sometimes we forget that footballers are. It's the same game that we've played. You know, if you think about it, when how managers motivate players, sometimes it is putting up a headline in the dressing room and saying that pundit said that about you. Go on then. And you think, well, no, but surely they talk tactics. And yeah, they do all that as well. But just in the name of sort of motivation and encouragement, if you're down on your luck or your confidence is low, if he comes in and goes, right, this guy's a Liverpool legend. Do you hear what he said about Old Trafford? And, oh, Watford's dust out and he wants to go and win there. He will want to come and win here. Look at the goals he scored here as a player. He can use that. That's the kind of thing you could use.
I don't know. I think...
he might not.
I definitely play into that. I think it's quite cool that an Everton legend is playing a Liverpool legend in this context where it's not a Merseyside derby. But I think for the players to focus on that, or rather for Ferguson to use that as a lightning rod for those players, seems a little bit misguided, because it feels like the structural issues at Everton aren't going to be resolved by a bit of grit, spit, and pride.
But it's not in there to talk about the structural issues.
No, of course.
To get a result on
But
on
what I'm saying
weekend.
Is you've got a group of players there who are so utterly underwhelmed and underwhelming that I don't know that they would respond necessarily to that.
Well,
they might
not.
Even think it a bit smoke and mirrors themselves and think, God, we need a bit more than this, mate.
Well, okay, fine. But they clearly need a pickup. They clearly need some sort
I think
of
they
motivation.
Need a slap.
Well, yeah.
And who's going to give it to him?
He's not going to open his palm.
No, it's true.
They've seen off every Tottenham manager, haven't they?
Yeah. He opens his palm as he wraps his belt around.
Well, I don't want to get all Roy Keane about it, but they have seen off a lot of these managers.
Do you find it funny? Apparently, the report was saying yesterday or the other day that they've interviewed Fabio Cannavaro for the job.
Yeah, it's just fantasy football stuff. If I was an Everton fan, that's one I would be angry about.
Yeah.
Because it's ridiculous.
What about Wazza being linked to the post? Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, I don't think he should go.
Well, I think Wayne Rooney would like to see it through at Derby. And obviously, well, Derby themselves got a huge game on the weekend against Forest, for crying out loud.
Well,
all the teams.
Every game is big for Derby at the moment, but that is a particularly big one. But, you know...
But some people are worried that could be one of Derby's last games in the league. I mean, it really is a perilous situation, and we will talk about that, you know, as it goes on. But
as the league table shakes itself out throughout the course of the season, it's kind of interesting because you do see these little stories. We've just, you know, gone hard in on that Everton there and the structure and how much trouble they're in.
Yeah.
But if they beat Aston Villa this weekend, they go within a point of Villa, and everyone's kind of really positive about Villa. Now, I know it's apples and oranges, and, you know, it feels at least Villa have got some kind of structure and they've got a bit of a plan, and Everton don't at the moment. But there's not a huge difference between them in real terms, I'm saying.
No, but not in your statistics. But why did they get rid of Dean Smith? Because the results weren't good.
Mm.
And then they get Gerrard in, who has just come from Rangers with quite an impressive... time there in terms of the league title, and comes down and he's full of ideas and energy, and he's a huge one of the biggest names in English football in the last 20 years. And the manner of the way they came back against Manchester United and so on. There's plus points at Villa. Villa are looking up the table rather than down.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think with Everton, you know, we're in mid-January. Everton fans will be thinking another write-off season. another season
yeah.
where
oh, yeah.
I mean, Sam Allardyce has been linking himself, saying, oh, I'm here if you need me. That's, you don't want
what
that.
What does he think this is?
No, but...
What do you think? It's like, the way you said that, it's like he's saying that to like a newly divorced woman of about 50.
Yes.
You know, what does that mean?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Everton fans are going...
Messaging over Facebook, here if you want to chat.
Joking aside.
No,
like,
but that's what I mean. This is a huge club and a proud club. And this is where they are. Mid-January, Sam Allen says, oh, by the way, if you need a helping hand, I can give you it. And they're going, well, it's just another season written off then.
Yeah, but he's shaking. He's just saying to Mashiri, I know that you know absolutely fuck all about football, so I'll shake you down for a few more quid. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, whatever he's saying, the fact is
stop backing him.
No, but I'm not
Is he the new Meatloaf?
Sod off.
get his tie around his head, he's a new Meatloaf.
I think he would do a great dance with Dead Ringer for Love, Sam Allardyce. That would get him up on the floor. There's no two ways about that. So, yes, but that big game there. And Everton, they really could do with a result and a performance. And Big Dunk's perhaps the man to get it out of them. Just this once, though. Right, Len, Luke Moore, over to you.
It's time for Betways 4 to score, as we always do this time on a Friday. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betways 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Game number one is Southampton v Man City. And Marcus, I'm delighted to tell everyone did his usual moan about this before we came into the studio. I don't know who to pick. Who have you picked?
Gabriel Jesus.
Thank you very much.
It's tricky with Man City. You never know who they're going to play.
Just do your job.
All right.
Game number two, Leicester v Brighton. Vish.
I've gone for Patson Daka.
Like that. Yeah, very nice. Game number three is Crystal Palace v Liverpool. Sunday at 2 o'clock. Our friend Andy's got this to say.
Hey Ramblers, Andy here. The trick with 4 to score is not to overthink it. I've got Crystal Palace versus Liverpool. After his excitement in London earlier this week, I'm going to call it a great week for Diogo Jota. He's going to score the first goal in this.
How many seconds is that, Marcus?
I think that was about 15.
Not too bad. Well done, Andy. Diogo Jota. Game number four is a Chelsea v Spurs, and that's me. I've gone for Mason Mount. So, in summary, our four selections for this week's Betways 4 to score: Gabriel Jesus, Patson Daka, Diogo Jota, and not Diego Jota, as someone called him on the radio last night and Virgil van Dijk got annoyed, and Mason Mount. So make sure your selections are submitted before the first game if you want to play. You can play for free at betway.com/4to score. 18 plus and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, get yourself over to begambleaware.org.
.org, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Hello, everybody. It's time for Marcus's game.
Absurd.
Yeah. Woo!
Absolutely absurd.
I'm in terrible nick, though, Vish. You've got a really good chance.
Vish is the current champion. And Luke Moore, let's be honest, Luke, you've wanted a title shot.
Do I get the shot if it's Marcus's game?
Because
it's...
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I won it off of Marcus's game.
Right, yeah. Fine.
Dude, this is a title bout.
Tainted.
Meatloaf
is birthday. Sorry, he's not his
get
birthday.
Get it right. It's
there's,
death day.
There's certain sections of our listenership that will be fuming. Phil Neville's not died. Certain sections of our listenership will be fuming if I become the title holder here.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? Some people are just haters, mate.
Deep state, mate. Conspiracy.
I'm delighted with this because look, you've put so much behind this game. You brought this game to the Ramble table.
Yeah.
You've entered the fray yourself. Some great matches involving yourself already. And Vish has often disrespected you when you've hosted this game. Well, now you've got a chance.
I'm really up for it now.
I know you are. Now you've got a chance.
Vish, right, laptop's closed.
Not even the proper game.
Vish.
I don't even have a sheet of paper.
Nor do I.
Vish likes to pretend that he doesn't care about this, but we all know that's not true.
I don't care about this iteration of the game.
You did when you won the title.
Yeah.
But it's a grudge match, and it's a title match as well.
So you're saying that I'm like Bret the Hitman Hart coming in the WWF?
Yeah, if you want, that's fine.
People's champion.
Whatever you want.
I'll put my sunglasses on you, Marcus.
Oh, I appreciate that.
can I get a piece of paper?
Let's get some pieces of paper in here.
Okay. Are we ready, gentlemen?
Yes.
Your pens and papers have arrived.
Yeah, let's get it over.
It's a grudge match, a big one.
Yeah.
We're doing managers. And remember, if they've managed a national team, that counts.
That counts in this game. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
If they were interim manager, that counts as well. If they've managed a side. But we're not looking, don't worry about B-sides and under-21s and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
So there we are.
Okay. How decrepit this version of the game.
So I go first because Vish is champ.
Yes, okay. And I don't like Vish when he's in this mode.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right.
No one does, Marcus.
Nobody does.
Okay, right. First manager, managed seven teams.
Seven.
Marco Silva.
Oh, nice.
Sexy Silva. Can I have an opening bid, please? Big Lukey Moore.
Yeah, I think I can do five.
Five? Ooh. That's nice. That's good.
That's nice. I'm going to give you that.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want it?
Not having a go. No?
No.
Okay. Luke Moore. Five teams.
Five. Fulham. Watford. Everton. Olympiakos.
One more.
Porto. Ah, bollocks.
Hull City are in there.
Hull City were in there.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Estoril's where he started Sporting.
Sporting.
Shit. You did get Olympiakos, of course. I think you won a title at Olympiakos.
He gave me a little wink when he said
he broke all sorts of records at Olympiakos.
Yeah. But Hull City was his first job here, if you remember.
Yeah, I do remember.
In England, Watford, Everton.
I remember now.
And Fulham.
That's a poor start. I should have just gone four.
1-0 to Vish.
I thought if I go four, he goes five. I can't do six.
Look, you can get back on track. We've seen this before. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. This man has managed six teams. It's Gerard Houllier.
Ooh.
Ooh.
How many can you do, Visho? Where is the sweet spot?
I'm going to do three.
Three.
Oh, you fucking bastard.
Yeah, that is the sweet spot.
I can do three.
Yeah. You're 1-0 down, Luke Moore. Three. He's put down three. That is frustrating, isn't it? Oh, the anguish on the face of Luke Moore.
Let him do his three.
All right. Three
I
teams.
I just can't do four.
Three teams, Gerard Houllier.
Ooh, Liverpool. Aston Villa.
Come on.
Did he manage France?
Ruined the career of David Ginola, of course.
I had Marseille. Did he manage Marseille?
He didn't manage Marseille.
Lyon?
Lyon, Paris Saint-Germain, France, Liverpool, Lyon.
Lyon as well.
Lyon
okay,
was
sweet.
One, and Aston Villa.
I'm up against it here.
It's 2-0 to Vish. Blimey, the champion is just wading through this one.
Yeah, this is not great.
Okay.
I'm absolutely shit at this game.
Luke, you need this. This man has managed seven sides.
Okay.
It's your uncle and mine. It's Martin Jol.
Okay. Jeez.
I think you should be happy that you go first on this one.
Yeah. Perhaps. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's a great way to ruin your Friday, this, is playing the game.
The game's named after me.
Not this one.
Not this one, thank
you. Seven teams.
Three.
I think that's a good bid.
That is a good bid.
But can Vish do four? Can he just swat Luke aside?
Yeah, can he go
for the 3-0. Yeah. Bang. Done.
Oh.
Can you do four? Can you do four? I mean, this worked for you with Marcus Silva. That tactic did work. A little bit defensive stuff.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, for a fourth, I'd be guessing.
Would you be
that
guessing?
That would be bullshit.
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want to do, bruv? Come on.
I'll let him do his three.
Let him do his three, yeah. Luke.
I'm going to die on my own. Fulham own sword.
Come on, you can do this. You
Fulham.
You can definitely do this. Right, okay, here we go. Fulham.
Spurs.
Yeah.
That's your low-hanging fruit right there.
You can do this.
Ajax.
He's back in.
Get in there.
He's back in. A big one there.
Vish, shove it up your bollocks.
Did you know that? Was that a bit of a game?
I'm still fighting for this title. That's what I know. I'm still fighting for this.
Every game is a cup final.
Yes.
Every round is a
I'm raring to go for the next one now.
Did you know Ajax, or was that a guess?
I knew he managed Ajax, yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to get, I think...
You don't have to show your hand, by the way.
No.
That's poor of me to say that. But Rodda, JC, as I believe it's not pronounced. Walwijik.
it's definitely not pronounced like that.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
Hamburg, yeah. Ajax Fulham, and Al Ahly is where he was.
Hamburg,
he finished.
I think I would have remembered maybe, but I didn't
quite
think.
A strange managerial career.
Quite a strange manager.
Yeah. Quite a strangely named brother.
But a lovely man.
He looks like my dad, Martin Jol.
Does he? Oh, yeah. Nice.
There we are. Vish is up first.
All to play for.
It's just as well you got that point. This man has managed 14 teams. Manuel Pellegrini.
I'm going to start.
I think it's maybe better to go second on the big one.
Yeah. I'm going to start with four.
Oh, can you do four? Or are you just bluffing?
I'm going to start with four.
Start with four? Well, remember his tactic with Dick Advocaat? He climbed all the way to 10, started with about five or six.
Yeah, but this is high stakes.
This is high stakes, Luke Moore.
High stakes.
Four teams.
I'm going to have to go. The way it's going to have to be is if I go five, I'm going to have to be prepared to name five.
Mm.
But on the other hand, I think he probably can do four.
Mm.
So.
Go on, what you got?
I can definitely do four.
Well, if you can definitely do four, chances are that old Vichy baby can. Are you going to go five?
I'll go five on my own terms. Fuck
big.
It.
It's big. Vish.
Go for it.
Right.
Just throwing it. Right, okay. Give me a moment here. Right. Far away.
Manchester City. Villarreal. West Ham.
That's three.
Now, for some reason, I think he's managed Chile.
Oh, what a shame.
Human. So add West Ham as well. Didn't
yeah, he hasn't managed the
didn't
the,
say Real Madrid.
No, he didn't say Real Madrid.
Or Malaga.
They were the ones there. I do you know what? When you said that's why it took me a moment.
I'm thinking of George Sampaoli, I think.
You are, but
Argentinian who managed Chile.
Yeah, when you said Chile, I was looking at the list thinking, it's not on there, but I think, no, but it isn't. Universidad de Chile, Palestino, O'Higgins, Universidad Católica, LDU Quito, San Lorenzo, River Plate, Villarreal was one you got. Real Madrid and Malaga were the
two. Yeah, I should have known that.
Manchester City, Hebei China Fortune, West Ham, and he's currently Real Betis.
Yeah.
Fuming.
Yeah, fuming. It was a tricky one, to be fair. To be fair, that was a tricky one.
Well played, Vish.
Well played, Vish. You're still the champ. And
Lord Banter beaten by Lord Attercanter.
Have you got those written down?
Are you reading these?
Yeah. It was a shame with Marco Silva. That was the
What's
one.
The final player?
Final player. It is. It's you to go first, yeah. Luke. Seven teams. Tony Mowbray.
Oh bloody hell!
What a way! Wow. What a way that
I could. I'll throw him a pen array in disgust. I could probably do. I think I'll probably do two, three.
Yeah, going three, Vish.
I reckon I could do four.
Go for it.
Go on then. Four teams. Tony Mowbray.
Blackburn Rovers.
Yeah.
West Brom.
Yeah.
Middlesbrough.
Best of three I had.
QPR?
Oh, 3-2. I'll take that all day long. I lost 4-1 last week.
Ipswich Town, Hibernian, West Brom.
Ipswich, shit.
Celtic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Middlesbrough, Coventry City, Blackburn Rovers, where he's been for a few years.
One day I will win on this.
You know what, though? It just takes one mistake. If with Marco Silva, you got that one right, you're going to final round and blah, blah, blah.
But well,
it's all ifs and buts because the ever magnanimous Vitusha Nahantaraj is still
we
champion.
Can't be doing managers again.
Why not?
He's just rubbish, isn't it? It's
why is that rubbish?
Good.
Marcus, don't fucking
get your own game.
Why are you going rising to the bait?
Get a different game.
Listen to it. Don't listen to it.
Get a different game.
Yeah.
Oh dear. We'll do mascots at some point. No,
do that Jermaine Jenas one about guessing the player. That was good.
JJ's jigsaw.
Yeah.
We should do JJ's jigsaw.
Yeah,
we should do. Yeah. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. We're back on Monday, of course, to talk about the weekend's action. Until then, thank you very much, Luke Moore.
I was just going to say, if you do co-opt any kind of BBC feature, you then run the risk that Chris Sutton may come in. I do not want to go down that road. Goodbye.
There we are. Say goodbye, Vitusha Nahantaraj.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, everybody. Have a lovely weekend.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.